For our scripture reading, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We begin to read at verse 20 and read through the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Thus far we read God's holy word. May God bless his word to our hearts. The text which we consider this morning is found in verse 36 of this chapter. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Beloved of the Lord, we live in a very cruel world. Oh, people pretend to be nice. They will smile at you. They will say, God bless you. I hope everything works out well for you. But most people do not care enough about others to actually be kind to them and help them in their need. They walk right on by the suffering. Moreover, people many times add to a person's misery. They will walk all over someone if that will bring them gain. People can be very hard and cold and cruel. Sometimes we Christians are no different. When someone hurts you, do you seek to hurt him back? When someone talks bad to you or about you, do you curse him in return? When someone steals from you, do you seek to get back what is yours and a little more? Sometimes we can be just as hard and cruel as the world. We can hold grudges against others. Bad feelings toward people who have done something to us. That is why there is so much fighting in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are not merciful to others. Not always. We do not always help others. We are not always kind, even to fellow believers that sit with us in the church. But we may not be that way. We have a calling to be merciful. We have a calling to be as merciful as our Heavenly Father. Mercy, if there is anything that ought to characterize a Christian, it is that. A true child of God who has been regenerated by the merciful God ought to reflect that mercy in the way that he deals with other people. He ought to be like his Father. And there is no one who is as merciful as our Heavenly Father. There is no mercy that is as great as the mercy of our Heavenly Father. With that in mind, let us consider this text under the theme, being merciful. Notice, first of all, the meaning. Secondly, the example. And thirdly, the blessing. We read in the text, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. The word merciful means to be compassionate, to have pity, to feel sorry for someone who is in trouble, someone who is suffering, someone who has great need. Mercy is, first of all, an affection or a feeling of tenderness toward other people, a feeling of pity for other people in their need. Mercy always begins in the heart. Outward acts of kindness mean nothing if they do not come from a heart that is tender, that is compassionate, that pities the person involved. Nevertheless, true mercy doesn't remain in the heart. It cannot simply remain in the heart. It must show itself in our actions by our helping people who are in need. We have a beautiful example of this in Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are told in that chapter that the Good Samaritan had compassion for the man who was beaten and robbed by the thieves and left for dead on the road. But it's obvious from that parable that that compassion was not merely a feeling in his heart. It expressed itself in the way that he dealt with that man. He didn't just say, oh, too bad, sorry, and walk on by as did the priest and the Levite. But he stopped and he helped. He bound up his wounds. He brought him to the inn. He took care of him. He even paid the innkeeper money to take care of him after he was gone. That is mercy. That is what we are commanded to do in this text. We may not be cold, hard, cruel people. We may not be so caught up in ourselves that we never think about other people. We may not ignore the needs of either our neighbors or our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be compassionate. Show mercy. Pity those who are in need. That is our calling. We must note that this is our personal calling as believers. This text may not be used as a ground for teaching that the church as an institute ought to be involved in all kinds of social action. The church as an institute has the calling to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But our personal calling as believers is to be merciful. We must go a little further with this idea. We have not yet gotten to the bottom of what mercy is. Within this word is also the idea that this pity, this compassion, this tender feeling ought to be shown to someone even when they do not deserve it. Yea, especially when they do not deserve it. That ought to be apparent to every one of us who get down on our knees and pray to our Heavenly Father, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." We do not mean by that prayer, "Help me out because I deserve it. Help me out because I've earned the help." No, we mean, "I am just a miserable, wretched sinner. I don't deserve anything. Pity me. Have compassion for me. Even though, yea, especially because I am so unworthy." If we are to be truly merciful, that means that we have to have compassion for and help sinners. People who are evil. People who are unthankful. People who have no compassion and kindness for others. In verse 36 of this chapter, we read, "But love your enemies." And a little later on, Jesus says of God, "He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." We are to be merciful to our enemies, to those who do not like us, to those who are mean to us, who hurt us. We are to be merciful to a person even though we know that that person will never return the favor. He will never show mercy to us. Yea, most likely, he will return evil to us for the good that we show to him. We are to pity these people just because they are so sinful and so miserable in their sin. Having understood that, we see that this is by no means a simple thing to do, an easy thing to do. This is contrary to our very nature. We don't mind being kind to those who will be kind to us. But be kind to those who hurt us, who hate us, who treat us as if we are dirt. That we have a hard time doing. And thus we see that if we are to be faithful to this command of our Lord, we need grace. We need great grace no one can be truly merciful to the undeserving without the grace of God. And God does give us that grace. In verse 45 we read, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." What that means is that God has given to all of His regenerated people grace. In regenerating us, He has given us grace. He has given us a new nature. He has put His own goodness in our hearts. We have a treasure of God's goodness in our hearts. Out of that treasure, by God's grace, we can be merciful to the unthankful and to the evil. Even though our mercy is always defiled by our sin, and our mercy will never be perfect, yea, far from it, nevertheless, we can be merciful to the undeserving by the grace of God. What do we do when we show mercy to other people? We find that in the context. In general, it means that we show love to other people. Verse 27, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you." We sometimes forget that we have the calling to love everyone who comes across our pathway in life. We cannot love everyone in exactly the same way. We cannot love believers and unbelievers in the same way. Nevertheless, we have the calling to love everyone who comes across our pathway in life. That is especially true of believers. We are to love fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look around you. Look at those people who are sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you. You are to love these people. You are to love them unhesitatingly. Even when they aren't so loving to you. Even when they fail in their calling to love you, you are to love them. Love them because they are the children of God, because they are loved of God, because they belong to Jesus Christ, because they are the objects of grace, because they belong to the same spiritual family. Our love for fellow believers is a bond that unites us with them in Jesus Christ. We have to try very hard, by God's grace, to love fellow believers. Because if we cannot love our spiritual brothers, how are we going to love anyone else? We are also to love unbelievers. We cannot love them because they are the objects of God's grace. We cannot love them because they belong to Christ. We cannot love them because they belong to the same spiritual family. And therefore, our love for them is not a bond that unites us with them. We may not be united with them. But we are to love them by showing acts of kindness to them, by performing acts of love for them, especially in their great need. In the context, we have a long list of acts of love that we ought to perform for other people, both believers and unbelievers. First of all, we are to be merciful to others by showing them love with our words, by showing them love in the way that we speak to them and about them. Notice verse 28. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. The wicked often curse us. Our enemies have all kinds of evil words that they speak to us and about us. Sometimes even our spiritual brothers have evil words for us or speak them about us. The tendency is for us to speak evil back, curse them, because they have cursed us. But God says no. God says, be merciful. Be compassionate. See the great need of the one who curses you. And instead of speaking evil to him or about him, speak good. We need to hear this very much in our churches. Sometimes there's an awful lot of evil speaking going on. I travel around to quite a few of our churches, and sometimes I'm kind of shocked at how we can speak evil about each other and about others. That ought not to be. There ought to be manifested in our midst mercy. Mercy. A part of speaking well concerning others is to pray for them. We have to pray for each other. Yes, we know how sinful we can be. We know how we can fall as low as the world. We can tear someone apart with our words. We have to pray for each other that God will give us grace to rise above that and to speak well of others. And we have to pray even for unbelievers, that if it is God's will, He would bring them to the truth, convert them, and so make them realize the proper way of speaking to and about other people. In the second place, we are to show mercy and love to others by doing such good things for them as lend them money. Notice verse 35. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. In love, we are to lend. And notice, lend to someone who most likely will not pay us back. Lend to someone with whom there is no hope of getting the money back. That is mercy. See your brother in his need. See your neighbor in his need. Have compassion. Pity him. And lend. Even though you know you will probably never see that money again. Being merciful affects our pocketbooks. Being merciful means that we are willing to give of our hard-earned money to help someone else. We're willing to give it basically as a gift. We have the same idea in verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give not only of your money, the idea is, but give of other things too. Give sacrifice. In order to express real compassion and pity for those who are needy. In the third place, we are to show mercy and love to others by not returning evil for evil. Verses 29 and 30. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That's quite a statement. That does not mean, first of all, that we may not defend ourselves against the criminal acts of others, or that we may not defend our loved ones against the criminal acts of others. If someone tries to rape or kill a loved one, we certainly have the calling to protect that person. Nor does this mean that we may not seek justice through the civil authorities. We have the general calling to always seek to promote righteousness and to put down unrighteousness. What Jesus prohibits by these words is personal acts of revenge. So that when someone hits you on the cheek, instead of hitting him back, instead of getting into a brawl, you offer him the other cheek. The idea is not to return evil for evil, but to return good for evil. That's compassion. That's mercy. Has someone in the church hurt you? Has someone, so to speak, hit you on the cheek? Instead of trying to get him back, turn the other cheek. Return good for the evil. That's what the Lord requires of us when He says, be merciful. How different things would be in the church if we followed this principle. There would not be any fighting, quarreling, bitter feelings. Everyone would truly sacrifice himself for other people. How about you? Are you merciful in this way? Or do you have to get him back? In the fourth place, notice verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Oh, this is a very important part of being merciful. We can be so quick to judge other people, so quick to condemn, even though we do not know the whole story. We hear this or that about another person, and right away we judge and we condemn. That is a big problem for some. While we refuse to examine ourselves and see our own sinfulness, we jump all over other people. We have a 2x4 stuck in our eye, but we try to get the toothpick out of our neighbor's eye. Jesus says, first, take the 2x4 out of your eye so that you can see clearly. Then you'll be able to take the toothpick out of your neighbor's eye. We ought not to be so critical all the time. This doesn't mean that we may not judge at all. Of course, we have to judge whether something is right or wrong, whether something is the truth or the lie. Our lives depend on that. We have to properly evaluate what is going on in the world, what is going on with people that come into our lives. But we should not do it in this hypercritical, condemning attitude. And very closely associated with that, we have to be willing to forgive. Instead of judging and condemning, forgive. The opposite of judging and condemning is forgiving. Sure, people sin. Yes, people make mistakes. Isn't that true of all of us? Isn't that true of you? Don't you want people to forgive you? Instead of holding a grudge. Instead of remembering the person's sin forever. And sometimes we're that way. Someone hurts us in some way and we never forget. Our calling is to forgive. If a person comes to you who has hurt you in some way and asks for your forgiveness, you certainly ought to give it. Even if they don't come to you, even if they don't even see that they have hurt you, you ought to have a forgiving attitude toward them so that you do not hold a grudge. Forgiveness is one of the most wonderful ways of showing mercy and compassion to other people. Christ says to us, be ye merciful. Are we going to be hearers only? Or are we going to be doers so that we are built upon a rock rather than the sinking sands? In this matter of showing mercy, Christ does not leave us to figure this out on our own, but He gives to us an example to follow. Be ye merciful, therefore, as your Father also is merciful. Here we are told to follow the example of our Father in this matter of mercy. The words "our Father" cannot refer to our earthly fathers. Certainly our earthly fathers ought to be merciful. One cannot be a good father if he is not merciful. Pity the children who do not have a merciful father. But we all know how we fathers fall short of our calling. We try to be merciful, but we're finite, sinful human beings. Sometimes we can be pretty hard and cruel to our own children. But there is a Father who can be our example, our Heavenly Father. It ought not to surprise us that Jesus holds up as our example God Himself. We find this many times in the Bible. In Matthew 5, verse 48, we read, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." These passages make it clear that the standard that we are to follow is the highest standard that there is: God Himself. Why? Because in the words of verse 35, He is the highest. Our example is the most high, the one who is higher than all other beings, the one who is infinitely higher than us, infinitely higher than the greatest creature. And He is not only high, the most high in His being, but He is the most high in His mercy, in His compassion, in His pity for us. God's mercy is higher than the heavens. God never forsakes His mercy. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. In Micah 7, verse 18, we read, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." No one is like God in His mercy. The most compassionate person that you know cannot be compared to God in the way that God shows mercy. Mercy is a part of the very being and essence of who and what God is. Psalm 86, verse 5, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." Our Father is good, and He has plenty of mercy. He overflows with mercy. His mercy is abundant. It never, ever runs out. There is especially one thing that characterizes the mercy of God. Verse 35. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind. That is, He expresses mercy in kind acts to the unthankful and the evil. Many believe that this is a reference to the reprobate wicked. They teach that God shows mercy to the reprobate. That is not true. God has no mercy whatsoever for the reprobate. The Scriptures make that very clear. In Romans 9, verse 18, therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth. Obviously, that means that God wills to show mercy to some, but to harden others. And we know from all of Scripture that those to whom He wills to show mercy are His elect people. God shows mercy only to His elect people. Everyone else He hardens. That limited idea of the scope of God's mercy is in perfect harmony with the statement that God shows mercy to the unthankful and the evil. Because we, who are God's people, are unthankful and evil. Certainly, before a person is converted, he is unthankful and evil. But even after a person is converted, he is unthankful and evil. Even though we are regenerated and have that new heart, that treasure of God's goodness in our heart, we still have that old sinful nature. And from the point of view of that sinful nature, we are so unthankful and so utterly evil. How unthankful we can be sometimes. God has done so much for us. Saved us from sin and death and hell by sacrificing His only begotten Son. Given unto us everlasting life. But do we thank Him? Are our hearts always filled with gratitude and adoration? Do we express that thanks daily in our prayers? Sometimes. Many times. We do not. But God is still merciful to us. He is still compassionate. We speak evil of our Father. We curse Him. When we reject what He brings into our lives. But He never curses us. He always blesses us. We show hatred toward Him every time we walk in sin. He never hates us. Always and only He loves us. We mistreat Him. We spit upon Him. We do evil to Him. But He only does good to us. We hit Him on the cheek, take His cloak and coat, and then hit Him again, as it were. But He turns the other cheek, and He gives us what we ask of Him. He is so merciful, so compassionate, that rather than judging us, as we often judge Him, judge His wisdom, judge His love, question, He always is so merciful that He forgives us. Every sin that we ever commit, He never remembers our sin. He never holds a grudge against us. That's the mercy and compassion of God. Is that how you show mercy to others? Is that how you show mercy to your neighbor? Is that how you show mercy to fellow believers? Look at the cross. Look at the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, for there God reveals how great His mercy is. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Would you die for a miserable sinner? Would you offer your son for a miserable sinner? Think about your children. Think about your youngest. Oh, how we love our children. Would you sacrifice your children unto death for a serial killer, a rapist, a criminal? God did. That's exactly what God did. He was so merciful that He sacrificed the Son whom He loved with every fiber of His being for us, sinful criminals. If you are to follow the example of your Heavenly Father, you must be sacrificial in the way that you show mercy to others. We need to crucify ourselves, give up our pride. Let us not pretend. We're good at pretending. We're real good at saying, "The Lord bless you. I hope it all works out for you." But let us not be like the priest and the Levite who pass on by. Have true mercy in your heart and show it in the way that you deal with others. Be ye merciful as your Father is merciful. For that is the way of blessing. Notice verses 32 through 34. "If ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. The idea of this passage is a little bit different than what is conveyed by the King James Version. The word thank is the word grace. And it's true that this word can be translated thank, but here it should be translated grace. And then the idea would be this. It does not take any grace to be merciful to those who would be merciful back to you. It doesn't take any grace to do good to people who will return the favor. Unbelievers do that. Unbelievers do that because it doesn't take any grace. But to be merciful to the unthankful and the evil, that takes grace. A person cannot do that without grace. And therefore, anyone who truly does show mercy to the unthankful and the evil manifests the fact that he has received the grace of God. He has been blessed with the almighty grace of God. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping nothing again, and your reward shall be great. That's the promise of God. Your reward shall be great. That reward may come in physical things, as the text or as the chapter speaks of it, but it will surely come in spiritual blessings. And how great will those blessings be? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When you give of your time, of your money, of yourself, the Lord will bless you richly. Your blessings will be pressed down and shaken together and overflowing. This does not mean that we can earn the blessing of God. We cannot earn anything from God. But what this means is God's grace. God's grace works the mercy in us. And through that very working of the mercy, blesses us. But there's something else here too. Verse 35, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. This doesn't mean that showing mercy is what makes us Christians. What it means is that showing mercy demonstrates that we are Christians. For we find ourselves doing just what God does. We find ourselves looking like God. It's amazing how children look like their parents. Sometimes you see a child and you say, oh, that must be so-and-so's son or daughter, because I can see it. He looks just like him. When we are merciful to the unthankful and the evil, we look like our Heavenly Father. We show that we are His children, and therefore we have the assurance that He has been merciful to us. He has forgiven us. He has been kind to us. He has done good to us, even though we are unthankful and evil. It's a wonderful thing to have the assurance that you're a true child of God. Then be merciful, as your Heavenly Father is merciful. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy. We thank Thee that Thy mercy has been shown to us even though we are so unthankful and so evil. Bless us, Lord. Give us grace so that we will be merciful as Thou art. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.